You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
The health system in Aotearoa has experienced issues of overcrowding and underfunding since before the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. While the current government campaigned last year on increasing funding to the health sector, most of this funding went to Pharmac and providing new cancer drugs. Despite staff shortages in the health sector, the government has continually criticised what they claim is an overspend and poor budgeting. The new health commissioner, Lester Levy, went as far as to describe the system as bloated, with similar criticisms from Prime Minister Christopher Luxon in his descriptions of 14 layers of bureaucracy. Tuesday Wire host Caster, that's me, spoke to the executive director of the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, Sarah Dalton, about staffing issues in the health sector and how the government can address them. There's been discussions continuing really since the pandemic and before of staff shortages and overcrowding in Aotearoa's health system. Has this problem improved at all in the last few years?
Unfortunately, it hasn't. We regularly poll our members and clinical directors about the state of staffing, and their responses have stayed pretty constant at around a sort of 20 to 25% vacancy rate. But that only tells part of the story. There are a number of services who aren't fully staffed to current funded levels, but actually our servicising process or theirs has identified that they actually need more staff than they're currently funded to employ. So while they may or may not be fully staffed at current funded FTE, there's actually a greater need that is not yet recognised by the system. So a 22, 23% vacancy rate is only part of the picture.
What kind of solutions have this government or previous governments offered the health sector to address these issues?
No one has done anything focused on workforce in the health sector, particularly for doctors, so far. So most of the focus since COVID has been taking that really useful kaiawhina or kaimahi workforce who are not a regulated workforce group, and you know, through like COVID vaccinating and stuff like that, have turned out to be a really valuable addition to the health workforce. But clearly that is not a workforce group that can cover the work of doctors, although it may be a handful of those people decide that they want to retrain. But, you know, to train as a doctor is a massive undertaking. It takes many years. I think partly the expense, the long time frames and the complexity of training up a local medical workforce has really put governments off. They all seem to suffer a little bit from short-termism. They struggle to think of a 10, 15, 20 year investment, which is absolutely what health needs, and particularly health workforce. So, you know, negligible energy or effort into looking at health workforce, particularly doctors.
The current government also made a big deal during the campaign last year and since about increasing funding to Pharmac for more cancer drugs. While obviously this funding will support people to access the medicine they need, is this funding having an impact on doctors and staffing issues?
There was actually a really great piece a couple of weeks ago where an oncologist explained what the pressures will be in funding new cancer drugs without funding the physical spaces like the chairs for infusion treatments and the staffing to oversee those treatments that go along with that. So people who are in need of that treatment, it's sometimes up to fortnightly or three weekly over a period of up to 2 years. So that's a long period of time to be going in for treatment, and it puts real pressure on the physical treatment spaces and the staff, both nursing and medical, to oversee and administer those treatments. There are apparently some alternative ways of delivering those treatments, so which would be put less pressure on staffing and facilities, but which Pharmac don't currently support.
The government also seems to have stepped back from providing further funding to the health system, even going on to criticise, you know, layers of bureaucracy, overspending. Health Commissioner Lester Levy also talked about the health system being bloated. Are these criticisms at all founded?
I don't think you'll find a clinician anywhere in New Zealand, whether community-based or in a hospital, that looks around and sees bloat. What they see is service rationing. What they see is ageing infrastructure and facilities. And what they see is a dearth of colleagues to help them work most efficiently and to the best benefit of the patients they would like to see. So if there is bloat, we have yet to discover it. I would almost be tempted to suggest that the level of understaffing creates its own inefficiencies. And certainly hospitals that are over full, and a number of our hospitals are sitting around 100% plus, that absolutely creates inefficiencies of care. Hospitals function best when I think they're somewhere between 80 and 85% full. You know, there always needs to be a little bit of flex to allow for, you know, trauma admissions and other acute admissions that perhaps weren't predicted. So with our overstuffed wards and understaffed services, that in itself creates inefficiencies. I know for a fact we have got some treatment spaces that could be used if we were appropriately staffed but can't because there aren't the people to run them. Or we have machinery that is so out of date that it breaks down a lot, and that creates cancellations and inefficiencies.
Yeah, you've gone into a bit. The government has gone on about potential costs of increased spending and staffing in the health sector. What are the costs, both to staff and patients, of not hiring more staff?
That's such a great question, because there is a measure called unmet need or unmet health need. It's quite hard to measure something that doesn't happen, but there are people here that look at that. Robin Gould recently from Otago has put out a new study. Now, and Treasury also, I think, has some data that says the cost of not treating people is at least as much as treating people. So you have to think about the cost to the economy of people who could be productive and can't be because of unmet health need. There are also other costs that perhaps measurable in dollar terms, but there's a cost of burnout and what we call moral injury that occurs for health staff who know that they're actually not working in the way that they should, and they're not able to care for people in the way that they have been trained to. And one of the costs of that is that they leave. The burden becomes too great and they simply walk away. Some of them lose their careers, some of them maintain their career, but not in the public system or not in New Zealand. And they are massive losses, both in dollar terms, but also in social and human terms.
What are the kind of changes that ASMS would recommend that the government introduce to address or work towards addressing this issue?
So there's a few things that they could do that are pretty straightforward. One is understanding and recognising that health inflation and the health sector labour cost index run higher than the standard indices for those things, so that should be recognised in funding. We would like to see some targeted, quantifiable commitments to medical workforce staffing over the next 10, 15 years. And one of our recommendations in our recent report, Anatomy of a Health Crisis, calls for an external independent review of the way we fund health. That is a big project, but ideally that would then come up with some more objective tools and matrices or metrics by which we can measure the real cost of providing healthcare, what that means, what we're willing to continue to provide as healthcare as part of the social contract, and then use those tools and metrics to make sure that there are appropriate levels of funding to make that a reality.
That was Executive Director of the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, Sarah Dalton, speaking to me about staffing issues in the health sector.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.